Luke chapter 15, verse 2, please. Second half of the verse. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Epistle to the Hebrews, please, in chapter 1, 10. And verse 20. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice of sins forever, sat down on the right hand. Our Lord is his Lord. I want for a few brief moments this evening to speak more about the one with whom we should be acquainted. Quite clearly from the three verses to which I direct your attention, we will be dealing with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read first of all in Luke chapter 23 that this man hath done nothing amiss. And I want to tell you about the sinless character of the Lord Jesus, about the purity of the life of the Savior. And then we will look at Luke chapter 15 and verse number 2. This man receiveth sinners. And I want to introduce you to the glory of a Savior who is prepared to receive you women. And then we will deal lastly with that little verse in the Epistle to the Hebrews. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand. And thinking of that, the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he will think of where he is now. I want to tell you tonight that the gospel which we preach is unique. It is not like any other message. It is not like any other that comes to the ears of men and women. It is absolutely unique. It is unique because it is centered on a man who was pure and perfect and sinless. It is unique because it directs your attention to a Savior who never committed one single sin. And thus when we take our attention to the 23rd chapter of the Gospel by Luke, we are dealing there with one of the saddest, most sorrowful scenes in human history. Because in that chapter, there is presented to us three crosses. On the center cross, there is the Lord Jesus. And on either side, there hangs a convicted criminal. One of them is railing, mocking, scorning the Savior. And the other criminal, turning to him, says, "Don't you know that we deserve his judgment? Don't you know that we deserve to die? Don't you know that we are convicted criminals, rightly condemned? But this man, the Savior, he has done nothing amiss." I want to tell you tonight that these two convicted felons were standing on the threshold of eternity. Life for them on earth was over. Never again would they see a sunrise or a sunset. Never again would they walk the streets of their hometown. Never again would he enter the portals of their own homes. Life was over. And they came face to face with the Savior on the brink of eternity. I want to tell you tonight that the gospel which we preach brings you face to face with the Christ of the cross. And as that day they considered the Saviour, one died, unsaved, unrepenting, but the other went to heaven. Because that day, standing on the portals of eternity, he said to the Lord Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." "To thee," said the Saviour, "thou shalt be with me in paradise." And the Christ who was hanging on the cross was sinless, pure, holy. And you ask me tonight, why then did he die? Why was he hanging, suspended on a cross with two convicted felons? Why was he there? I'll give you one reason now. He was there not to pay the price for his own sin, for sin he did not. He was there to pay the price for the sins of others. And I want tonight to impress in your soul that that is the very center and kernel of the gospel story, that there came from heaven the Saviour who went to Calvary and died on the cross, not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. And one man recognized this and said, "This man hath done nothing amiss, undeserving of death." What did that man do one day? What was the difference, the fundamental difference between these two felons on the cross? Why was it that one went to paradise and the other went to eternal loss? It was not because one could buy his salvation, because money he no longer had. It was not that one could work for his salvation, because working days were over. It was because one believed that hanging on the center cross of Calvary, there was a Saviour who could see him into eternity, to paradise. Lord, remember me. It was because that man was prepared to admit one simple, searching thing. He said, "We died justly." What was he admitting? He was admitting that he was a sinner. He was confessing that he was a sinner. Friends, tonight, the pathway to heaven starts when we confess you're a sinner in the presence of God. "My sins deserved eternal death, but Jesus died for me." This man says, "I'm a sinner. I deserve to die. There's no mitigating circumstances. There's no excuse. There's no reason. I'm just a sinner." And tonight, the gospel starts by telling you that I am a sinner, and you are a sinner. And tonight, you might say to me, "Preacher, you haven't come from Scotland to tell me that, have you? I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I may not be perfect, but I'm not a sinner. I may have been guilty of a little here and a little there, but I'm not a sinner." I want to tell you tonight that if you claim that, you are claiming that this Bible is not true. Because the Bible says this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, preacher, explain that. What do you mean, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? What do you mean? I'll try to put it clearly. Every single one of us has sinned and come short of God's standard. God's standard. God's perfect standard. We've all sinned. And on the center cross of Calvary, there was a man, and a felon, and a convicted, confessed sinner looked at him and said, this man has done nothing of it, but we deserve to die. Are you familiar with the gospel? Or are you hearing it for the first time? You're so familiar that you don't even consider that you're a sinner. Or perhaps for the first time you're hearing the words. We want you to remember that nobody ever crosses the portals of heaven who has refused to say, I am a guilty sinner. This man died for sinners. Why? Because he's sinless, pure, and holy. And this man has done nothing. I took your attention to Luke chapter 15, verse 2. Sometimes in the gospel stories, there were things said about the Lord Jesus that were said with derision, said mockingly, disparagingly. And men and women still treat him like that today. You know what they said? They said this, this man receives sinners. They said this, look at the character of him. If he was what he claims to be, he would never receive sinners. But I want you to see exactly what happened. It says this in Luke chapter 15, that there drew near unto him publicans, tax gatherers and sinners, for to hear him. They came to hear. They just came to hear. They wanted to hear his teaching. Do you see what it says? It says this, that this man receives sinners and eateth with them. Now grasp this. They came to hear, they ended up sharing a meal with him. I want to tell you tonight that when you come to the Savior, he gives you immeasurably more than you can ever expect. They came only to hear, but they ended up sitting at table with him. This man receives sinners. And they looked with a cowled lip, and a cold eye, and a hard heart, and they said, and he's eaten with them. I want to tell you that what they said disparagingly is one of the grand verses of the gospel. What they said mockingly is something in which we can glory tonight if we know the Savior. This man receives sinners. You see, there may be somebody in the hall tonight who's saying something like this. Yes, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I want salvation, but I'll need to clean up my life. I'll need to get myself together. I'll need to stop this and stop that. And before I can get saved, there's 5, 6, 7, 10, 12 things in my life, and I've got to put them right before I can ever be saved. I want to tell you tonight that this man receives sinners. I want to tell you tonight that you have to give your heart and your life to him, and only then can your life change. You leave this hall tonight and say, I'm going to take a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and I'm going to clean up my life, and I'm coming back to a gospel meeting, and then I will be fit, and I will be right, and I will be just ready for the Savior to receive me. I'll tell you this, try that and you'll never get saved. You'll never get saved. You'll never know this man. You'll never, as we heard earlier, acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. You never will. Because you never can rid your own life of these things that are displeasing. And so, in Luke chapter 15, the grand and glorious verse to which I direct your attention this evening is, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. You know, the Lord Jesus responded to that deranging remark. The Lord Jesus responded to these words of mockery, and he told three stories. He called them parables. He told the story about a sheep that got lost, and a shepherd who went to find it. He told the story about coins that got lost, and a housewife who swept the floor until she found them. He told the story of a son who left home. Commonly called the prodigal son. He was what we would call today a ne'er-do-weel, a useless character, a spendthrift, a wastrel. And as you look at them, there's very little to commend them. He's not lovable. He takes half of his father's fortune, he squanders it, and he ends up in the swine trough, eating the very food that the swine did eat. He's a nobody, a nothing. He's down, he's out. One day, sitting surrounded by the swine, the stench of the swine troughs in his mouth, the filth of the swine round about, with his strength gone and death facing him, he says this, I'm going home. I've spent everything. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. I'm going home, and I'm going to say to my father, I have sinned. Praise God, he's got it right. I'm a sinner, he said. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The Lord Jesus could tell a story in a handful of words that having them in eternity. And as that son went home, there was a father gazing into the distance, waiting on him coming. And the moment he saw the figure of his son in the farm,